UAB MedCast is an ongoing medical education podcast. The UAB Division of Continuing Education designates that each episode of this enduring material is worth a maximum of 0.25 AMA PRA Category 1 credit. To collect credit, please visit uabmedicine.org/medcast and complete the episode's post-test.
Welcome to UAB MedCast, a continuing education podcast for medical professionals. Bringing knowledge to your world, here's Melanie Cole.
Welcome. Here to tell us about the Alpha One Clinic at UAB Medicine today is my guest, Dr. Mike Wells. He's an associate professor in pulmonary and critical care medicine at UAB Medicine. Dr. Wells, explain a little bit about Alpha One and the people that are at risk. Is this disease underrecognized?
Thank you for having me. So your first question about what exactly is Alpha One antitrypsin deficiency? So it is a genetic disorder. It's one of the most common genetic causes for chronic obstructive pulmonary disease or emphysema, and it's characterized by an abnormal production of this alpha-1 antitrypsin protein by the liver. And so under normal circumstances, the liver makes the protein, and then it goes to the lung and kind of helps sort of clean up the lung from lung damage that may occur in response to the environment or infections or other things. And so for patients who have alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, this protein is not secreted normally and it's misfolded in the liver, which can accumulate in the liver and can lead to liver damage and liver destruction, but also reduces the overall amount of alpha-1 antitrypsin that circulates in the blood. And ultimately, this can lead to these, if there's a low amount of this in the lungs, it leads to kind of an unchecked amount of inflammation that goes on in the lungs and puts people at risk for emphysema or other lung conditions that are not necessarily in response to cigarette smoking. And it is something that, because of its the genetically inherited condition, it can present in childhood, typically with, with liver disease, or in patients that are as young as 30 years old, tend to start manifesting signs and symptoms of chronic lung disease. The estimates right now are that between 1 in 2,500 and 1 in 3,000, Caucasians in the U.S. may have alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, which is kind of comparable to the rates that are seen in other genetic lung diseases like cystic fibrosis. And then I guess your third question was, is this an underrecognized condition? Well, I guess, of course, the answer is yes, it is. We know that COPD and emphysema are highly prevalent in the United States and affect up to, 24 million people. And alpha-1 accounts for between 1 and 3% of those patients. And even within people, most of the 1 to 3%, we believe, is probably underrecognized. The actual number of alpha-1 patients with alpha-1 may actually be higher than that.
So interesting. And Dr. Wells, you answered my first four questions as well. So that was excellent description. Thank you so much. Now speak about who should get tested. What does testing look like? And tell us about the issue that could rise and what some of the results of this testing could have an effect for the patient's lives.
Testing is absolutely essential and critical to the diagnosis, and especially because it's so underrepresented. The current recommendations by, the American Thoracic Society and the other COPD groups and the Alpha-1 Foundation is that any patient that's ever been diagnosed with COPD or emphysema should be checked for alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency at least once. Other recommendations are that patients that have chronic asthma, that have a family member that's been diagnosed with alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, or people that have chronic liver disease should all be checked. There are some other kind of rarer conditions that if a patient were to have these, they should get tested as well. And those would include things, other lung conditions like bronchiectasis, which is an enlarging of the airways, or a skin condition called paniculitis, which is pretty rare, or other rare conditions like vasculitis or problems with vasculopathies and things, and as well as liver cancer. So, you know, again, those are less common causes, but it certainly can associate with alpha-1 antitrypsin. And so in order to get tested, well, I guess kind of taking one step back and just talking about the genetics of the condition. So I mentioned earlier that under normal circumstances, this alpha-1 antitrypsin protein is made in the liver. For patients who don't have alpha-1 deficiency, they have two copies of the genetic allele called MM. And so that means that these patients don't have any alpha-1 disorder and do not carry any altered alpha-1 genetics. This is sort of co-inherited from patients, and so you get one M copy from your, you know, mother and one copy from your father. The other condition that's most commonly associated with this misfolded protein is something called a Z protein. And so if you have one copy of a Z and the other copy is an M, you're considered a carrier. And these patients tend to have kind of a mild to moderate increased risk for symptom development and may lead to emphysema. And then probably the most severe and the most well-characterized is something called ZZ, so meaning that you got one copy of a Z from your mother and one copy of the Z from your father. So all of the alpha-1 protein would get sort of misfolded in the liver and lead to some liver damage, but then would have very low circulating blood levels of alpha-1 antitrypsin. And these patients are at pretty high risk for developing emphysema, and then you can also imagine that they're also at increased risk for chronic liver injury and cirrhosis based on where it's being retained. There are some other genetic things that can happen as well, something called an S, which is kind of an intermediate form, or I guess intermediate severity between being normal and then having a Z. So we do see, so I guess in the spectrum of things, kind of summarizing, so if you're normal and you have two copies of the normal, you're considered an MM, and that means you're in, you know, no increased risk for lung or liver damage. If you are an MZ, meaning you have one normal allele and one abnormally folded allele, you do kind of have a mild to moderate increased risk for symptoms. And that's considered a carrier. There's also a carrier that's an MS, meaning you have one normal copy and one S copy. And so this is maybe a little bit milder presentation than the MZ patients. And then the true alpha-1 antitrypsin deficient patients are either a ZZ, meaning they have two copies of the Z, one from their mother, one from the father, or an SZ. And so these are the patients that are at highest risk for lung and liver injury. So the you know, a lot of the genetics and the inheritance and things are very complex and complicated, but I guess fortunately the testing is very easy. You know, like I mentioned earlier, the recommendations are that patients with any of those you know, presenting signs or chronic illnesses be evaluated at least once, and this is done through a blood test. There are several different assays that can be done. Some can be, you know, just a routine blood draw. There's others that can be done through just a finger prick, dried blood spot test. And depending on how the tests are done and where they're done, you know, the typical turnaround time can be just a couple of weeks before you get an answer for, I guess, the genotype.
So, Dr. Wells, based on the risk for lung and liver disease, what does this mean for the patient in terms of work, insurance, and what do you want primary care providers to do? What role do they play in helping with lifestyle modification and behaviors, smoking cessation, secondhand smoke, alcohol consumption, all of these things that go along with recognizing that somebody has this gene?
Right. So the recommendations are that once a patient has been diagnosed with alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency or even being a carrier for alpha-1 antitrypsin, lifestyle modification, you know, work modification if necessary, things like that are kind of the first major common recommendations. And so smoking cessation is first and foremost the primary thing that we work on, not just for alpha-1, but for any patients, especially those with chronic lung disease. You know, there are patients that who are lifelong non-smokers that can develop emphysema just based purely on having alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. But we do know cigarette smoke increases that risk tremendously. Secondhand smoke, other things can lead to this chronic inflammation that can also increase the risk for emphysema. I mentioned at work, you know, if I guess that is very dependent on, I guess, the type of work and career that the patient has. If their job requires a lot of exposure to dusts and coal or, you know, other things like that, or, you know, work in a chemical plant or something, they may need to, you know, talk with their, you know, occupational health people at their company and make sure they wear protective clothing and things like that, you know. Otherwise, you know, we ideally want to minimally impact work as much as possible. There are some studies out there that do show that other environmental pollutants and, you know, ozone, things like that can also lead to kind of a worsening, you know, of the lung condition, like an exacerbation, you know, can precipitate, you know, exacerbations or things kind of periodically. You know, those are kind of the major things. You mentioned, you know, alcohol, and that's something that can be a sensitive topic for some patients. But we do know that the damage from chronic alcohol use, even at lower amounts than, you know, kind of what's recommended by the NIH and other groups, can still lead to some subtle liver impairment in patients that have alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency, particularly those that are ZZ patients. And then I guess the last thing would be just, you know, like we recommend for all patients, just developing an exercise program and being really active on a, you know, as much as possible. It's not only good for, you know, lung health and liver health, but just, you know, just health in general.
Tell us about the Alpha-1 Clinic at UAB Medicine, Dr. Okay. Wells, and what type of providers are involved? Tell us about the multidisciplinary care you've got going there.
Yeah, absolutely. We're an Alpha-1 Clinical Resource Center that's recognized by the Alpha-1 Foundation. We provide screening tests for patients or for family members of patients who've been diagnosed with alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. We offer comprehensive evaluations, including, you know, history physical, some of the medical testing and therapies that go along with having alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. And we collaborate closely with our hepatology group here. So if there's any signs of, you know, liver injury, liver damage, we like I said, we work really closely with them and try to make sure that we're addressing any need, whether it's we're aware of it or not. And then we also can offer genetic counseling and things for you know, people who are, you know, have questions and are, you know, considering things like insurance and family planning and other conditions.
Such an interesting topic, Dr. Wells. Thank you so much for joining us. So do you have anything further? What would you like other physicians to know about alpha-1 and managing this or testing their patients or counseling their patients about getting tested?
I think the main message is that it's an underdiagnosed condition, and it's probably more common than what we appreciate, and that we should be actively screening for this in any of our patients with chronic lung disease and for patients who are family members of those that have a known diagnosis of alpha-1 antitrypsin deficiency. One of the things I didn't mention before is there are treatments out there that can lead to some improvements in, you know, lung function. And the testing and the screening tests are very easy and simple and minimally invasive. And so, you know, I would encourage everyone to think about alpha-1 and to check patients for alpha-1.
Thank you so much, Dr. Wells, for coming on and explaining Alpha-1 to us and sharing your expertise and telling us about the Alpha-1 Clinic at UAB Medicine. Thanks again. A community physician can refer a patient to UAB Medicine by calling the MIST line at 1-800-UAB-MIST. That's 1-800-822-6478. You're listening to UAB Medcast. For more information on resources available at UAB Medicine, you can go to uabmedicine.org/physician. That's uabmedicine.org/physician. This is Melanie Cole. Thanks so much for listening.